Please be seated. Turn back with me in God's Word to Genesis chapter 41. This morning I've taken as my title, All the Earth Came to Joseph. All the Earth Came to Joseph. There's something about rags to riches stories that we love. Some of my favourite movies and books involve the lowly being raised up, the hero coming out of nothing. Chapter 41 begins with Joseph in prison, sitting there separated from his family, desolate, unjustly behind bars, forgotten by men in a foreign land. Joseph is abandoned. He's in the pit. You can't get much lower than that. But the same day, Joseph is going to be standing clothed in royal robes. The very same day, he's going to be in charge of the whole land of Egypt. And Egypt was the superpower at that time. He wasn't just released from prison. But this Hebrew slave is exalted and raised up, and he's seated next to Pharaoh. From the pit to palace. This is a rags to riches story like no other. On the very same day. The amazing thing is, it's history. This happened. Chapter 41 is going to break the pattern that we've seen in Joseph's life. That pattern of success followed by disappointment. That pattern of seeming to prosper or be settled followed by dejection and abandonment. God, in his perfect timing, has Joseph exactly where he needs to be. And through Joseph, God is going to save the nations. All the earth came to Joseph. Let's look at this chapter before us. And the first thing we see is God's providence for Joseph. God's providence for Joseph. God is in control. 2 full years, Joseph sitting in prison, waiting for news from the cupbearer. 2 full years, a forgotten man. But as we looked at last week, not forgotten by God. Because 2 years later, Pharaoh is going to have a dream. And these dreams are going to so trouble and disturb Pharaoh that he can't rest until they're interpreted. Pharaoh dreams, and his dreams are in the providence of God. He dreams of 7 fat cows grazing on the banks of the Nile. And then 7 thin, ugly cows come up, and they eat. The word is that they chew on the fat cows. His second dream is that of 7 large, thick, full ears of corn growing on a single stalk. Unheard of. Wonderful, bountiful harvest. And then 7 empty, thin, sun-scorched ears appear. And they swallow the full, plentiful ears. These aren't ordinary dreams. The cow is a symbol of the Egyptian goddess Isis. And Isis was the goddess of the harvest. The River Nile, it represents Egypt. It was a symbol of Egypt itself. These first 7 cows are stunning. Plump, fat, and beautiful. Award-winning cows. Full of flesh and shapely. The 7 thin cows are ugly. evil looking. Pharaoh says in verse 19, they were very ugly and thin. And they eat the fat cows. What a disturbing dream. The second dream, 7 ears of grain or corn on the single stalk. Egypt was known as the breadbasket of the Mediterranean. When the Roman Empire came to power, just under 2,000 years later, Egypt was still known as the breadbasket of the Mediterranean. The Roman Empire, most of its bread, most of its supplies of grain, the majority came from Egypt. Egypt, because of the Nile and the annual flooding, it was a place of abundance. It was a place of wonderful harvest. And Pharaoh in his dream dreams of the harvest, and it's wonderful. And then 7 thin, sun-scorched ears appear. They swallow up the full ones. A disturbing dream. God, in his timing, gives Pharaoh these dreams on this particular night. God's providence. And also in God's providence, Pharaoh calls together all his wise men and his magicians. These are professional dream interpreters. This is their job. It's easy for us looking back on the dreams to see how they mean 7 years of plenty and famine. But surely for these men, Pharaoh dreams of a cow. A cow is the symbol of the goddess Isis, the symbol of the harvest. And it's good and fat, 7 thin, ugly. We'd think they could at least hazard a guess, but no, they're blinded. They can't see it. They can't give an interpretation that satisfies Pharaoh. They can't see the very symbols of Egypt, of its gods and prosperity being destroyed. God blinds the wise man to the meaning of the dreams. God's providence. God overruling. These wise men and magicians have no answer for Pharaoh. God's providence in the life of the cupbearer, this advisor of Pharaoh. He sees all of this going on, then he remembers. He didn't remember any sooner. He doesn't remember when Pharaoh doesn't need an interpreter. He doesn't remember shortly after the time in prison, when Joseph would be of no use to Pharaoh. The cupbearer doesn't remember any earlier than God has planned. What could have happened if the cupbearer said to Pharaoh, when he came out of prison, there's this young Hebrew slave in prison, he's done me a great service, he's a good man, he hasn't done anything wrong, you should release him. Let's say Pharaoh released him. Joseph free to go, and he goes. 2 years' time. Where's Joseph? What's happened? We don't know what could have happened. We can't really speculate. But what we can say is that God has his exact timing. God has a plan and a purpose. There's a reason why Joseph is in prison for these 2 years. 2 long years. In fact, we could take the 13 years that Joseph has been in Egypt. 13 years a slave in Egypt. We could look on and say, what has God been doing? How difficult, how hard. But we have to say God is sovereign. God is in control. And we can see it here. The cupbearer remembers. And Joseph is then, we are told, rushed from the pit. He shaved because the Egyptians are strong in hygiene. They don't like any sort of facial hair. Some of us wouldn't do well in Egypt. He's shaved and he's brought straight away into the presence of Pharaoh. Everything moves so quickly for Joseph. God's providence, the cupbearer remembers. 13 long, difficult years. Why? Because God is in control. God has a plan. And God's plan is to save the chosen family. God is going to have his man in place at the exact time of God's choosing. And that man was Joseph. God's providence for Joseph. Every detail, every incident, it's under God's sovereign control. And the same is true in our lives. We must believe that. We have to believe that. Because God's word makes it clear that God is in control. It might be 13 difficult years. It might be more. It might be 2 years in a pit, 2 years of abandonment. But God has his perfect timing. God has his plan and his purpose. And we trust that God is in control as we see it here in the life of Joseph. And Joseph eventually stood before Pharaoh because of God's providence. God's providence for Joseph. Secondly, God's proclamation through Joseph. God's proclamation through Joseph. God has revealed to Pharaoh in dreams what he's going to do. And none of the wise men can explain it. But now this young Hebrew, an insignificant prisoner, think of that. A Hebrew who was a prisoner in a foreign land stands before the most powerful man in the world. Pharaoh says to Joseph, I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph standing there before the Egyptian king. Pharaohs were worshipped as gods by their people. What does Joseph say? Verse 16. Not in me. It's not me. I can't do it. But God. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Joseph makes it clear that this is God's revelation. This is God's word. This is God making clear what will happen. Look at verse 25. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 28. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Joseph proclaims God's word. Joseph says, this is God who has revealed this. And Joseph then explains the meaning of the dream. Seven fat cows and the seven plump ears of corn are seven good years. The harvest will be fat. The harvest will be plentiful. It will be abundant. But then it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. The thin cows. The sun-scorched grain. And these 7 years of plenty are going to be forgotten. The famine is going to be so severe, so terrible, that people won't even remember that there were 7 years of plenty. Joseph proclaims God's word to Pharaoh. Joseph reveals what God is going to do. And he tells Pharaoh everything. He tells him the good news and the bad news. God is going to bring a famine down in the land. Pharaoh, God is going to strip this land of food. But this is also good news, because Pharaoh, you can do something about it. Pharaoh, there is a day coming and you can be prepared. You can be ready to face that day. God has been so gracious in revealing to you what is going to happen so that food can be provided during the famine. God has lovingly proclaimed his word so that the people can take action, so that the people can be saved. Look at verse 36. Joseph makes it clear, this is so that you may not perish. In the light of God's revealed will, in the light of God's truth, because of what God is going to do, here is what you must do. God uses Joseph, this Hebrew prisoner, to stand before the king and proclaim God's word. Joseph proclaims the revealed will of God to Egypt and to this king. God's proclamation through Joseph. Thirdly, God's preparation of Joseph. God's preparation of Joseph. Verse 33 to verse 36. Joseph here is continuing to speak and he sets out what Pharaoh should do. Pharaoh, you need to choose a wise and a discerning man who can oversee and organize the collection of food during the 7 good years. And have local organizers within the cities. And they can collect that 20%, a fifth of all the food. And store that food up. And it can be used during the 7 years of famine. Where is Pharaoh going to find such a wise man? Where can he find someone who can do this and do it well? Where can he find someone prepared and ready to take on this task? His wise men and magicians have let him down. Verse 38. And again, remember, this is the God King Pharaoh. And he's speaking to a Hebrew prisoner. Verse 38, it's remarkable. Can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God? Pharaoh recognizes that God's Spirit is in Joseph. Pharaoh says, is there anyone like this Hebrew slave? Is there anyone like Joseph? For 13 years he's been a slave. He's been humbled. He's been neglected. He's been abandoned. But he's also been learning. And he's been growing. And he's been maturing and trusting in God. For 13 years, God has been preparing Joseph and strengthening Joseph. For 13 years, Joseph hasn't forgotten God. And God has always remembered Joseph. The world might look on and say, here's someone who's been cast aside. Here's someone that God has forgotten. But God hasn't forgotten. God has been working in Joseph's life, equipping him and preparing him for this great task. And God has been filling Joseph with his Spirit. So much so that even Pharaoh notices. This pagan God king says, the Spirit of God is in him. God has been preparing this man. And Joseph is discerning and he is wise. And God equips his servant. He equips his soldiers He equips his workmen. He equips his rulers. And God has been at work in Joseph's life. We see Pharaoh raise Joseph up as second in command. Verses 41 to verse 44. What a turnaround for Joseph. Again, this is on the same day that he was sitting in the pit in the prison. He set over all the land of Egypt. He's given the royal signet ring. That means that whatever decision Joseph makes, it carries the weight of Pharaoh's name. He's clothed. He's given a gold chain around his neck, the sign of power and authority. And Joseph is placed in the second chariot. Pharaoh rides in the first chariot. And in this public procession and ceremony, Pharaoh will ride out, and Joseph is in the chariot behind. And all the people cry out, "Bow the knee." They bow down to Joseph. Joseph is set over the land of Egypt. Verse 44, Pharaoh says that although he is Pharaoh, Joseph is in charge. No one can act outside of Joseph's command. They can't lift their hand or lift their foot without Joseph saying so. Pharaoh gives Joseph a new name and a wife from an aristocratic background. She's the daughter of one of the priests of the sun god Ra. We don't know if Joseph had any say in the matter. We know that it wasn't right for God's people to marry outside. But what we do know is that Joseph gives his sons Hebrew names, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Joseph prospers in Egypt because of God. He calls his son Manasseh, saying, "I've forgotten my hardship. And Ephraim, God has blessed me richly." We're going to be looking at these two sons in our AGM on Wednesday night. We're going to take this passage for our thoughts and study. But here we see that God has been preparing Joseph and blessing Joseph and helping Joseph fit into the circumstances that God has him. And God is getting him ready for the task at hand. God equips his people for the task that he has set for them. God prepares his people for the task that he has for them. Don't forget that. God's preparation of Joseph. Then fourthly, God's provision in Joseph. God's provision in Joseph. The 7 years of plenty are so rich and full that they actually stop measuring how much grain there is. The Egyptians were statisticians. They loved recording things. That they measured everything down to every last detail. That they made notes upon notes upon notes. They kept records of all different sorts. But here we are told that there is so much grain that they just give up counting it. That's not like the Egyptians. So this harvest must have been rich and full and abundant beyond measure. The storehouses are full. And then the famine comes. 7 years of death by inches. This famine was so severe that it affected not just Egypt, but the surrounding nations. But we're speaking here of the whole of the Middle East and Northeast Africa, all affected by this famine. We should try to understand the severity of famine. These are people starving to death. not just in one village, but on a massive scale. I'm just old enough to remember the latter part of the Ethiopian famine, in the mid-70s to the mid-80s, seeing those pictures on TV. I'm sure for many of you, it was the first time we'd ever seen what famine does. Skeletal features, distended bellies, women, children, men, starving to death. Those images are probably seared on many of your memories. That's famine. That's what's sweeping through this land. And yet in Egypt, there is enough grain for everyone. In Egypt, there is provision. In Egypt, people can be saved. Look at verse 55. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And what does Pharaoh say to them? Go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do. It is Joseph who will save you. It is Joseph who will provide this bread of life. It is Joseph who can give you hope. It is Joseph who can give you what you need. Go to Joseph. Then look at verse 57. Moreover, all the earth came to Joseph. All the earth. There was enough for everyone at the hand of Joseph. All nations could be saved through Joseph. All nations could find hope in Joseph so that they might not perish. Later we will see that this provision through Joseph, it's especially for the saving of the promised family. God in his timing and his providence is going to bring down Joseph's family to Egypt that they might be saved. And God has placed Joseph here for that reason, to save that family. Because from that small family in Canaan will come the Savior Jesus Christ. In God's perfect timing, Jesus Christ will be born a servant. In God's providence, Jesus Christ was born at just the right time. God's providence, Jesus Christ the servant, suffered and died at just the right time. Jesus Christ went to the cross. God's providence, he suffered and died in our place. Just like Joseph, Christ Jesus was raised up. And Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He's the one who is crowned with glory and honor. He is the one before whom every knee must bow. Just as Joseph passed through Egypt and the people bowed the knee, they cried out, so everyone must cry out to Jesus Christ. And every knee will bow before Christ. And there's good news. There's the proclamation of God's word. And that is that God has provided salvation through Jesus Christ. Like the people in Egypt, like the people throughout the nations, we are in great need. And there's a message that we need to hear. Just the way Joseph proclaimed God's word in Egypt, so God has revealed what he is going to do here. God says that he will punish sin. God says that he will punish sin eternally. God says that there is a day coming when we will have to stand before His throne. We will have to give account for our actions. God says that if we are not found in Jesus Christ, then it will be eternal punishment, eternal death. It'll be worse than that severe famine in Egypt. Just like Joseph, we have to proclaim, you are in danger. If you're not a Christian this morning, you are in danger. Listen to the words of Joseph to Pharaoh. God has shown to you what He is about to do. We deserve eternal punishment because of sin. And this thing is fixed by God. It will happen. And it will happen soon. But there's good news. And the good news is that God has spoken. God has revealed this to us so that we can take action. God has revealed His truth to us so that we can act in accordance with the light of this truth. Like Joseph, we must be prepared to proclaim this message to people. We see also that God has provided. In Christ Jesus, we find life at His hand. Like Joseph, but greater than Joseph, Jesus Christ is the one who provides. He is the bread of life. Go to Jesus. Go to the cross. Find forgiveness of sin in what Christ has done, in taking the punishment that you deserve for your sin. Go to Jesus. And find that there is enough in Christ. There is abundance in Christ. For everyone who calls on His name. It's for all people. It's for all nations. It's for all the earth. All the earth came to Joseph. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you think to yourself, surely not for me. Is it really for me? Is there enough grace in Christ for me? Is there enough forgiveness in Christ for me? Is there enough provision in Christ for me? Yes. Go to Jesus. His storehouses are full. There is enough grace and mercy and forgiveness for you. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've been struggling in your faith. You think to yourself, is there enough in Christ for me? Will I be satisfied enough in Jesus Christ? Is His death enough for me? Yes. His storehouses are full. And it's for all people everywhere. All nations, all tribes, all tongues, all the earth came to Joseph. We live in a starving world. But in God's providence, and through God's revealed word, we see that God has prepared and provided His servant, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ there is life. In Jesus Christ there is enough for everyone. He is our only hope. All the world came to Joseph. Amen.